All right, let's take our Bibles this evening. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I won't. It got really tense there for a second. I won't. No candy cell meetings. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And thou shalt teach them," so speaking to parents, speaking to fathers, talking about their children, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them," talking about God's commandments, "when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy gates, the posts of thy house and on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." And he continues there. What I want us to see, and we'll just use this as a introductory verse to get where we want to go, but he gives to parents the responsibility to train and to teach children. To teach children what is right and what is wrong, to teach them how to live, to teach them what it means to live a successful, if we want to use that word, successful, not just a successful life, but a successful Christian life. Outside of that word, there is no successful life. A person may have all the riches and all the things in the world and still not be successful if they don't have a Christian life. Okay. So, let's go over to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 6. And I'd like to look at a man here in Judges chapter 6. I've heard that verse that I just read, those verses that I just read, throughout most of my life, and I have heard that, you know, parents are to instruct their children. And to me, it was always, yeah, mom and dad, you're supposed to instruct me. Until I had children. And then certainly, as you all would understand, for the most part, that changes a lot. It changed everything for me, of how I approach my Bible, how I approach Christianity. I need to know what it says because I am tasked with teaching three little boys how to live. God gives me that responsibility. Judges chapter 6. The Bible says, and I won't take the time to read the whole story. I think we are probably familiar with the story of Gideon. Judges chapter 6, verse number 24. "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die. Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." It's an interesting statement there. They come, the men of the city come to Joash, and they say, Bring out your son, we're going to kill your son. Joash, as we just read, Gideon, as we just read, he did it by night because he feared the men of the city. But not only that, he feared his father's household too. Whose altar was it? It was his father's altar. And Joash said, verse number 31, and Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. I just like to point out a couple things about the actions of this father. Look at the idea tonight, the decisions of a father. And so I guess I'm mostly directing it, fathers, toward you, toward me, toward us. The decisions of a father that changed the direction, in many ways, changed the direction of the life of this son. These men wanted to kill Gideon for what he had done to their altar, to Baal. And the decision of this father, though he had been a Baal worshiper, he had been a defender of this god Baal, so much so that he had an altar set up to him. He had a grove set up to Baal. At this moment, when these men of the city come against him and demand his son, he makes a split-second decision, I am not going to follow this god anymore. He was apparently struck by the courage of his son, apparently struck by the loyalty, the faithfulness of his son to follow God, the God of their fathers. And I wonder what went on in Joash's mind. Maybe, just maybe, his mind went back to perhaps something that his father taught him way back when he was a young man. But the decision of Joash, first of all, number one, it saved his son's life very practically, very evidently. And I've looked at this and considered this thought, I apply it to myself. If in any way I make the decision to hinder my sons from following God, what am I going to do to their lives? I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to ruin them. I have the ability to stunt their growth. Certainly, there is the grace of God, the mercy and grace of God that can overcome that. I understand that. But as a dad, we have the ability to take our children and to stunt them by our own carnality. Don't allow our children to follow God in the way God wants them to follow Him. We'll destroy their lives. We'll ruin their lives. At the very least, we'll stunt them. I know of some individuals, some relatives of mine, when their children were born, they wanted God and really any type of Christianity when their children were born. Anything would do as long as they were in a church, quote unquote. Why? Because they wanted to set them up to be on the right path. Again, quote unquote. But it was interesting to watch as they grew older and as they grew, these children, they became teenagers. And the narrative changed. All of a sudden, even the church that they had put their children into, they weren't even interested in that. And beyond that, God who? Who's God? And some statements were made that just as long as we can get them through high school without any major catastrophes, as long as there are no children born in high school, we'll be happy. I'm sorry. That's not successful. That's not a success for our children. That's not it. It saved his son's life. It shaped his son's life. But secondly, it empowered Gideon. Can I just say this? Encouragement goes a long way. There's a balance. There's a balance, certainly. Absolutely. There's a time when correction needs to come in. There's a time, and so please don't misunderstand me, but encouragement goes a long way. You know, a person may say, well, I think that God should be enough. I think that, David went and he encouraged himself in the Lord, the scripture says. So, if we only get on everybody's case all the time and let God do the encouraging, okay, that's fine. David did encourage himself in the Lord, yes. David defeated Goliath in spite of the discouragement of Eliab and his other older brothers. But let me ask you a question. What about Joshua? It's an interesting statement to me, and I won't take the time to go there. Before I say that, it's interesting how many times, 10 times, that it was said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. But is that? That's, hey, just stay with it. Do what you need to do. Follow God. We're behind you. We're with you. It suggests to me that he must have been afraid. But who was Joshua? Joshua was a man who was mature at that point. This is at the time, the beginning of the book of Joshua. He takes over the children, leading the children of Israel. He was 84 years old. We don't think about it like that. We think of Joshua as a young man. No. Joshua was 84 years old when he took over leading the nation of Israel when Moses died. And Joshua needed encouragement. Furthermore, the Bible says that God told Moses after the battle of Amalek, he said, take and write everything that has happened during this battle that Joshua led and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. What is that? That's encouragement. That's encouragement. What would this decision have done for Gideon? This decision would have let him know that Dad is not against him. Dad is in his corner. Dad is on his side. Dad wants to encourage him. Our children are receiving a Christian education from a godly school. The purpose of the school is twofold. One is to teach a quality education, and the other is to help teach the ways of God. The purpose of the school is not to teach the ways of God. Dad, that's your responsibility. It's not my job to raise your kids. Sorry. It's your job. It's our job to come alongside and assist you as you teach them the ways of God. That means that as dads, we need to step up. We need to make sure that we know what we're talking about. We need to make sure we know this book and how to live the Christian life ourselves. So dad, let's take a self-test. How are we doing? How are we doing? Don't discourage them from what God has for them. I have absolutely no idea what things God has in store for my boys. But I pray all the time that God would call them into the ministry. I do. If God doesn't, that's fine. That's up to him, but that's what I want. Don't make them follow God in spite of you. Just want to look at one other thought here very quickly, and then I'll finish. It's 7:59. Look back at the beginning of Judges chapter 6. You guys, I think this will be a record for me. Beginning of chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord, verse number 12, appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Pay very close attention to the next few words. And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Where be all his miracles? Our God is a miracle-working God. I don't know about you, but I think we need to see some miracles. We're at the stage right now where we need God to show his hand. We need God to show his might. We're not just in our church, but in our school, in every part of our ministry, every part of our lives. We need some miracles. Where are his miracles? Can I give us the answer to that? Go back towards the end of the chapter where we already read. Verse number 25. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, 7 years old, and here it is, throw down the altar. Throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. We want to see the miracles? We got to throw some altars down. The decision of Joash, not only did it save his son's life, not only did it encourage his son, but it also brought the miracles in. Now, I understand Joash is the one who threw it down. Gideon is the one who threw it down. Gideon was the one who got that charge and that commandment to do it. But Joash is the father that stood behind what his son did. What kind of altars do we have in our lives, dads? What kind of altars do I have in my home? What kind of altars have I set up in my living room, in my bedroom, wherever it might be? Can I say this? The altars that I have set up, my children see. They see them. They're very evident. I may think I can have this in my life, and I can think I can have this in my family and in my home, whatever type of sin, however big, or can I say however small. I think it's not really going to affect my kids. They're not going to maybe notice. It's going to kind of slide under the radar. No, it's not. Parents were good people. But they're human. Just like I'm human, just like you're human. And I saw their mistakes just like your children see your mistakes. And just like my children will see my mistakes. Parents, we had better be careful of having altars in our home. Our children see them, and they keep them from seeing miracles. Close with this question. Why was Gideon the one looking for miracles? Why wasn't Joash looking for miracles? That's strange to me. Why wasn't he looking for them? No doubt, as Joash had been presumably quite a while in worshiping Baal, don't know how long, but a while, probably, he had ceased to see miracles from God. Why was he not concerned about it? I just guess the answer. He was comfortable with where he was. He was comfortable with what he had in his home. He was comfortable with his altar and with his grove. The status quo, I'm okay. Listen, parents, we need to not be comfortable. We need to not be comfortable. As long as our kids graduate from the school and are doing okay, they're not getting in all kinds of trouble. No. I don't want average kids. I don't want good kids. I want great kids. Amen. That goes back to parents. Joash could have pulled Gideon out of God's service right then and there. Gideon would have, if he had survived, Gideon would have ended up doing nothing great for God. And I ask us this question, what will I keep my children from doing for God? Whether they're active in church or not, what great things will I keep them from doing by keeping them at the mediocre level? What altars do we have? Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. God, help us as parents, Lord, to be very, very conscious. Lord, we're not just living a life for ourselves. We understand that. At least I hope we do. We're living a life and training young people how to live theirs. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to recognize that responsibility and to take it very, very, very seriously. It's a charge that you have given to us, to no one else. Help us to take it as a job from you, to be taken seriously. We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.